I think we got to the top of Kuf Aleph on the base.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So again, we pass an halacha elisa chalalisa. If something is treif already, let's say I take nevela meat and I cook it with milk. So I get malchus for cooking. The pasuk says in Chumash lo sevashel gdi b'chalev imoy. You can't say ein iser chalal iser. There's not there to cook nevela. So when I cook nevela with milk, I'm loike for the iser abishel. But then the question is, if I eat it, how many times malchus will I get? So the iser nevela came first, and then the iser basa b'chalev is not chal on top of the iser nevela because ein iser chalal iser. So the rule is ein iser chalal iser, and there are three. We pass on halacha. There are three exceptions to the rule when the iser is chal. When one is if it's an iser basachas, both iser machal simultaneously. So which one are you going to say is chal? Which one is not chal? The second one is not chal on top of the first. Even if one is chal after the other, but it's chal terch de dibur. We gave the example last week: a koyin. Cuts his finger, so when he touches the saw, when he touches the knife, he already becomes tamei. So a kohen whose tamei is not allowed to be makor karbonis, and then he pushed his finger down, so he cuts off the tip of his finger, so he became a balmum. So he became a balmum a second after becoming tamei, and nonetheless, the Gemara considers that anisa basacha. So there's a little tesis in Yevamos on that line in the Gemara. Tesis says, but it's bizarre hazeh. How is that basachas? They say, but it's since it's so soon after, it's terke de dibur. He cuts off the tip of the finger immediately after touching the knife. So terch de dibur is kedibur damis. It's considered as if it's bevasachas. So if the two yisurim are both chal bevasachas, then they're both chal. You get twice malchus. Or even if one is after the other, so we pass on halacha. There are another two exceptions to the rule. One is an isa moisif, and one is an isa koila. Isa moisif is if the second isur is also much more rasa than the first. The second isur is rasa on more people than the first week. So what example did we give last week? I marry a girl whose parents are not married. Let's say the parents are divorced or the mother is an almana. So when I marry the girl, I'm not allowed to marry the mother-in-law because there's an isha bita. Chamosa is an isha bita srefa. And then the shviger remarries later, so she becomes first chamosa v'nashu seishisish. She becomes an Eshus Ish later. So the Isa Chamosa is only to me. It's my mother-in-law. When I marry the girl, so the mother-in-law is Asura to me. She's Muteris to everybody else in the world. But then the second Isa, when she becomes an Eshus Ish, she's Asura to all the men in the world. No one's allowed to marry her. So the second Isa is much bigger, much more inclusive than the first Isa. So that's called an Isa Moisef. So an Isa Moisef, we pass an Isa Chalal Isa. Then there's another exception to the rule, Isa Koilol. What's an example of an Isa Koilol? So the Gemara had on Omer Aleph, let's say, Echol Nevela B'Yame Kippurim. That's what we spoke about last week. There's non-kosher food. There's kosher food and non-kosher food. Enters, it's not allowed to eat the non-kosher food. Enters Yom Kippur, so Yom Kippur makes it, you're not allowed to eat any food in the world. So if you eat non-kosher food, will you get twice Malkus? Once Malkus because it was treif before it came Yom Kippur, another Malkus because you're eating on Yom Kippur. And they say, no, the Isser Yom Kippur cannot be chal on top of the Isser of non-kosher. So the Gemara considers that an Isser Koilol. The second Isser, Yom Kippur, includes more chatichas than the first Isser. The first Isser Trefus is also to all the Jews in the world. The Isser Yom Kippur is also to all the Jews in the world. It's not that the second Isser Yom Kippur is chal on more people than the first. But the second Isser Yom Kippur is chal on more chatichas than the first one. So you can't say the Isi Yom Kippur is not chal. The Isi Yom Kippur is chal on all the kosher food. So So I say, once the Yisi Yom Kippur is chal on the kosher food, Bechrech, you can't say it's only chal on Chatzoyin. Yisi Yom Kippur is only chal on the kosher food, not chal on the non-kosher food. That's called the Nisu Kolu. So the Gemara says, Reb Shimon doesn't subscribe to you. Reb Shimon has oich on the veil of Yom Kippurim. One who eats in the veil of Yom Kippur is not chayv koros. If he eats it, amazing. He's not chayv koros, because he doesn't hold from Nisu Kolu. And the Gemara said over here that Rabbi Saglili doesn't believe in Issa Koilo unless the second Issa is more chomer than the first Issa. That was the whole Gemara and Omer Al. So the Gemara is not questioning. There are different Tanoim, different opinions. So Reb Shimon, we know from other places in Shas, Shimon says Oichon Nevela v'Yom Kippurim is only Chayv Mishum Nevela. He's not Chayv Koris because of Yom Kippur. So we said last week, let's say there's a Choyle Sheesh B'Sakon on Yom Kippur, and the doctors say he has to eat food. So what would you recommend? What food should he eat? So the Gemara says, Machil Mosa Hakala Kal Tchila. Whenever a person, Mishum Sakonas Nefoshes, has to eat non-kosher food, he has to do some Avera, has to be Mechal Shabbos or something. So it's preferable to try to minimize the Yisr. So you have a toss-up, the Chayla Mesukan can either eat kosher food or non-kosher food. If he eats the kosher food, he's violating an Issa Yom Kippur, which has Koris. If he eats the non-kosher food, he's not violating the Issa Yom Kippur, because any Issa Chalalis is only violating the Issa of Chazer, or Basa B'cholim. So that's only an Issa Lab, it's not an Issa Koris. So if the din would have been like Reb Shimon, that ain't Issa Chalalis, even though the Issa Yom Kippur is an Issa Koilol, we would have recommended that the Chayla Mesukan on Yom Kippur should eat non-kosher food, not that he should eat kosher food. And that's what the Nevi Yehuda writes. Yeah, but the Pell is, but we don't pass like the Tana Reb Shimon. We pass an Issa Chalal Issa if it's an Issa Koilol. So if he's going to eat the non-kosher food, he'll be violating a double Aver. If he eats the kosher food, he's only violating the Issa Yom Kippur. So that's not Kala Kal Tchil. So that was a strange Nevi Yehuda. Why? He writes the Tshuva La'alocha, but it's only La'alocha if the din would have been like Reb Shimon, which it isn't. So here the Gemara is going to discuss, what does Rabbi Yosef Lili really hold? Is that really true? Rabbi Yosef Lili, lesli Issa Koilo, you mean to say he doesn't believe in Issa Koilo? That's how the Gemara suggested it. Amar Aleph, a whole cheshbon that we went through last week, he only subscribes to Issa Koilo, Issa Chalal Issa, if the second Issa is more chomer than the first. Frag the Gemara v'hatani, we have a braisa, a tosefta, it says that there's a machlekes between Rabbi Yosef Lili and Rabbi Akiva. What's the din? A person does malacha on Shabbos b'mezid is chayv koris. If he does malacha b'shoigeng on Shabbos, he's chayv chatas. Person does malacha b'mezid on Yom Kippur, also chayv koris. So if he does b'shoigeng on Yom Kippur, it's chayv chatas. What if it's Yom Kippur shechali is b'Shabbos and he did malacha b'shoigeng? Is he chayv one chatas or two chatas? So the Pashto says that it's an Issa Basachas. When the moment Yom Kippur enters, it's Chal, Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos and of Yom Kippur simultaneously. Both Chal at the same time. Shabbos v'Yom HaKippurim means Yom Kippur Shecholi is b'Shabbos, Shogag v'Osa Malocha, and he did Malocha b'Shogag. So how many Chatos is he Chayv? Minayin Shechayv al Zeh b'Yatzmo v'al Zeh b'Yatzmo. So the first Tana says he's Chayv Shtayim, Rabbi Yosef Lili. He says that he's Chayv two Chatos. So he learns it out from a pasuk. Tamalayim as Shabbos he in Yom Kippurim who did Rabbi Yosef Lili. Shai, Yechayv Shtayim. So the pasuk pshat is because it's an Issa Basachas. It's an Issa Basachas. It's in Chulin. Yeah. First check. Chulin Kuf Aleph on the base. Okay. Daf Kuf Aleph on the base from the top.
Yeah.
So Rabbi Yosef Lili holds that Yom Kippur Shechali is b'Shabbos and he does Malacha b'Shoygeg because there's an. You're only chayv chatas if you do an aver b'shoigeg, if the nature of the aver is such that if you would have done it the basic, you would have been chayv koris. That's a person cheats in business b'shoigeg. So if he cheats in business b'mezid, he's not chayv koris. A person talks lashon hara b'shoigeg. If he talks lashon hara b'mezid, he's not chayv koris. The only time a chayv chatas is an aver a kol shazona koris is shigigos achatas. He has to bring achatas. So malochan yontif is malkus. If you do malach on yontif, so if it's l'tzarech achal nefesh, it's mutter. If it's not l'tzarech achal nefesh, it's an avera, but there's no koris. But Shabbos and Yom Kippur both have koris. So if it's Yom Kippur, shechali is b'Shabbos, so Rabbi Yosef Aglili holds that it's tzvei mol koris, and it's tzvei mol malkus. You chayv twice chatos. Chayv two chatos if he did it b'shoigeg.
Why doesn't this prove that he doesn't hold? Because he needs a pasuk to teach me both.
Okay, that's a good question. That's what Tosfos talks about that. It's a gzeres halkasa. How do you see that? How does it show anything about what he holds in other cases? Yet, yeah. We'll have to see the Gemara first. This Gemara is very strange. We'll soon read the Gemara. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. He says, "Ena chayv al achas. He's only chayv on one. Which one is the chayv? Which one is the chayv? He doesn't say. Shalach rov and mishum the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina kach atzor shal mishnah. Wait a minute. So how did they? What was the kasha here? The Gemara says on Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yosef clearly doesn't believe in Issa Kolo. So the Gemara says, how can he say he doesn't believe in Issa Kolo? What about this case? Yom Kippur Shechol Yis B'Shabbos. That's the kasha. Why is that a kasha? Here it's in Issa Basachas. What does it have to do with Issa Chalal Issa? They're both Chalba Basachas. So Rashi has a very long Rashi. Rashi has two pshatim here. So he has one pshat based on the Gemara five lines later that it's not in Issa Basachas. It's in Issa B'Zachas. It says, when Hashem created the world in 6 days, He rested on the seventh day. By Baruch Alekim Hashem Hashvi'i, by Kaddish also. So He was only Mekaddish the first Shabbos in the history of the world. No. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested on Shabbos. He was Mekaddish in Shesh Yismei Bereishis. All the Shabbos and Losi Lava, every seventh day He was Mekaddish. So even, let's say, it's Parshas Vayikra. Can't be. Parshas Vayikra is not going to be Yom Kippur. Whatever. Okay. So when it comes Yom Kippur, Shechol Yis B'Shabbos, the Kedusha Shabbos has already been established since Shesh Yismei Bereishis. Kedusha Yom Kippur depends on the Bezin declaring when it should be Rosh Chodesh, when it should be Rosh Hashanah. So it's always considered Bezach HaZeh. It's always, even though when it comes to Seis HaKachavim of Yom Kippur Shechol Yis B'Shabbos, both Chal simultaneously, it's both Chal together. So Rashi quotes a one shot based on the next line in the Gemara that we consider it as if it's always Bezach HaZeh, because Kedusha Shabbos was always present from Shesh Yismei Bereishis, and Kedusha Yom Kippur was only established when the Bezdin declared it Mekudesh HaChodesh, when they declared when Rosh Hashanah should be. So it's Bezach HaZeh. It's not an Issa Basachas. But what does it have to do with an Issa Koilo? Nachama, what's an Issa Koilo over here? So what does it have to do with an Issa Koilo? So Rashi doesn't like that pshat. The Gemara is going to bring this pshat up later. So Rashi has a very difficult pshat. How do they more proof from here that Rabbi Yosef Glili does believe in Issako? So Rashi has a different pshat, which Tesis is not happy with. Rashi says, true that this is an Issa Basachas, because Shabbos Yom Kippur Al-Chal simultaneously, but it doesn't make sense. That's the question, why doesn't it make sense? But I'm going to say in the next sentence, it doesn't make sense to say that in Issa Basachas they're both Chal, unless you hold that if it would have been Mizrach HaZeh, the second one would sometimes be Chal, then if it's an Issa Basachas, then they're both Chal. What in the world do they have to do with each other? Issa Basachas, they're both Chal. The Rishonim say Elosh and Heyman Ayim Afkis. Which one are you going to throw out? If they're both Issur Machal simultaneously. We had before cases, we're going to have more cases till the end of the parak. Was going to give different cases of Issa Basachas. We gave the case, the coin cut off his finger, the Gemara and Yevamos. All the cases. Issa Basachas, of course they're both Chal. How can you say any Issa Chal? So Rashi has a very strange pshat. Tosfos is not happy with the pshat. It doesn't make, Rabbi Yosef Lili says they're both Chal simultaneously, Issa Basachas, but you can only subscribe to this Klal. Issa Basachas, they're both Chal. If it would have been Mizrach HaZeh, the second one would have been Chal HaYidei Koilel, then you can say if it's Chal B'Basachas, they're both Chal. So what's the logic? What's the connection? No one understands it. Rashi has trouble. Tosfos has trouble. This Gemara is a big pella. No one understands it. So that was the whole kasha. How can you say Rabbi Yosef Lili doesn't believe in Koilel, but we have a Braisa, we have a Tosefta, where he says that there's such a thing as an Issa Basachas, and Issa Basachas only makes sense if you subscribe to Koilel for some mysterious reason. So the Gemara says, you're right, your kasha is a murderous kasha, you have to amend the text of the Tosefta, and the Shita should be the reverse. The Rabbi Akiva is the one who says they're both Chal, and Rabbi Yosef Lili is the one who says that you only chayv one. You can't be chayv two, you'll only be chayv one. The answer was given, Shalach Ravin apparently lived in a different city, So he sent a letter, Shalach Rav Mishum de Rabbi Yosef Rav Hanina, Kach Atzor Shal Nishna de Epech. The correct reading should be just the reverse. What you said, Yom Kippur Shcholius B'Shabbos, that's the case. The day Yom Kippur Shcholius B'Shabbos, but Rabbi Yosef Glid is the one who holds that you're not Chayv Shtayim, because since he doesn't believe in Issa Kailol, so therefore he can't say that Issa Basach is the both Chal, which doesn't make any sense at all. Then the Gemara continues. Shalach Rav Yitzchak bar Yankev bar Giyorei Mishum de Rabbi Yechanan the Div Rabbi Yosef Glili Lemay de Atchon, according to what we just reversed, that you only chayv one. So which one are you chayv? They're both chal simultaneously. Which one are you chayv? All right, you can't be chayv two chatos because they nisra chal alisa, but it's basachas. So which one are you chayv? So he says we consider it as if Shabbos came first. The Maide Avchon, after we reverse the Girsa, according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, and we say that you want Rabbi Yosef Glili holds you on the Chayv Achas, so which one? Let's say he's bemazed on one and Meshagig on the other. There are many Jews in America, they'll observe Yom Kippur, but they don't observe a regular Shabbos. So he didn't realize that it was Yom Kippur. If he would have known it was Yom Kippur, he wouldn't have gone to work. He drives to work every day, drives to work on Shabbos, Yom Tov, but Yom Kippur he takes off. Eigewald, he didn't have a calendar, he didn't realize today was Yom Kippur. So if he's mazed on Shabbos and Shogig on Yom Kippur, then he wouldn't be Chayv Chatas. Only the reverse, if he's mazed on Yom Kippur and Shogig on Shabbos, you only Chayv Chatas with Dudi Aver B'Shogig. And the only Aver you can be Chayv B'Shogig over here is going to be the Shabbos, not the Yom Kippur. Why? If they're both Chal Mamasachas, how do you decide which one is Chal, which one is not Chal? So let's see. The Gemara is going to discuss it. Lemay the Avchon, according to the way we just reversed, we were Mahapech, the Girsa. So which one was he B'Shogig, which one was he B'Mezid? Shogag B'Shabbos B'Hizid B'Yom Kippur, if he was... See, that some people know that Yom Kippur, there's no Chiyav Misa. If you do Malach on Shabbos, there's a Chiyav Misa. So Shabbos is more Chomer than Yom Kippur. So let's say a person, Tosis raises this issue. The din is that a person is only chayev chatas b'shoigeg if the nature of the aver that he did b'shoigeg was he shoved me the yosoi. When he finds out that he did wrong, he feels bad about it. And if he would have known at the time that he did the aver, the information, he wouldn't have done the aver. What do you mean over here? It's Yom Kippur Shacholis b'Shabbos. So the guy was shogig on one and mazed on the other. What do you mean shogig on one? What's the difference? If he's mazed on Shabbos and mazed on Yom Kippur, so what does it help that he's shogig? He didn't realize that according to the calendar, it's both Shabbos and Yom Kippur. But the guy's not a shomer mitzvah, so how can he say if he's chayv chatas on a shogig? So Tosfos explains, no. The different psychology. Some people have the psychology. Once a year, Yom Kippur, they don't drive. Shabbos, every Shabbos, they don't drive. Yom Kippur, they're not going to drive. So if he's shogig b'yom kippur, and if he would have known it's Yom Kippur, he wouldn't have done malacha. So then there's what to discuss. Other people have the psychology for karet. Shabbos is much more chomer than Yom Kippur. Shabbos is a chiyuv misa, a chiyuv skila. So Shabbos is not going to mess around with. Not going to drive on Shabbos. Yom Kippur is only an isa kares, so that he doesn't care about. But Shabbos and isa misa, so that is not going to violate. So then, if he's shogig on Shabbos, there's what to say that he's chayv achatos. If he's shogig on Yom Kippur, it doesn't mean anything. He would have driven to shul even if he would have known that it's Yom Kippur. So the fact that it's shogig, that's not... If a person doesn't aver b'shogig and he shoved me the yosa, if he would have known that it's yosa, he wouldn't have done it, then you talk about chayv achatos. But even if he would know that it's Shabbos Yom Kippur, he would have driven anyway, so you're not chayv achatos then. So that's what Tosfos explains. Different people have different psychologies. Some will observe Yom Kippur, it's only once a year, Shabbos they won't observe. Others will observe Shabbos because it's Bacham, it's Misa. And Yom Kippur they won't observe. So Nachum also, what does he say? After we reversed, we corrected the Girsa and the Tosefta, the Maidi Afchon, after we were Mahapach the Girsa, and Rabbi Yosef Glili is the one who says, you only chayv one Chatas, which Avera are you chayv Chatas for? So he says, you only chayv Chatas for the Shabbos. Not chayiv for the. We consider as if Shabbos came first, Yom Kippur came second. I was going to ask why, but they're both simultaneous. So he says Shogag b'Shabbos v'hizid b'Yom Kippur is chayiv. Why is he chayiv chatos? Because Shabbos came first. But the reverse, hizid b'Shabbos Shogag b'Yom Kippur, then he's pata. Gemara asks my timer. Why did you decide to say that Shabbos comes first and Yom Kippur comes second? They're both bevasachas. It doesn't make any sense. So Abaye gives that interpretation. Abaye says, but Rashi said all along, Amar Abaye, Shabbos, when the Rabban Shalom created the world, and Sheshes Mei Bereshis, he was Koveya, all the Shabbosim in the future, every single Shabbos is Kaddish from Sheshes Mei Bereshis. The Yom Kippur is only Chavon, the Bezin declares that it's Rosh Hashanah. So it's always considered as if it's a case, it's not considered an Issa Basach, it's always considered Bezach Hazeh. As if Yom Kippur is trying to be Chal on top of Shabbos. Amar Abaye, that's what Abaye interprets, Shabbos Kriya V'Kaima from Sheshes Mei Bereshis has been established thousands of years ago. Yom Kippur, Beidina, the Kavile, Bezin, is Koveya, Bezin establishes when Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is, when Rosh Hashanah is, and Memela, when Yom Kippur is going to be. So it's always Bezach Hazeh. That's, according to the way we reverse the gears, that's the Shita Rabbi Yosegli. Okay. Omale, Rabbi, Sir Rabbi disagrees with Abaye. And usually, whenever there's a Machlekes Abaye Barava, we accept Rabbi's opinion. Well, there are only six cases, the Yalkagam, where we pass like Abaye. This is not from the Yalkagam. The Rabbi says, what are you talking about? Sof, sof, chavai, baharat, darikos. It's not called Bezach Hazeh. It's called Anisa Basachas. So why did you say that only the first, only one is Chal, and the one that's Chal is Shabbos, and Yom Kippur is not Chal? Why? It's Anisa Basachas. How can you decide like that? Elama Rabbi, no, and Gansan, the whole story is cockeyed. You have the wrong girsa, the wrong, everything is wrong. The whole girsa is wrong. The story was not that it's Yom Kippur Shechalis B'Shabbos. There was one year that the Bezin declared when Rosh Hashanah should be. 10 days after Rosh Hashanah comes Yom Kippur. So there was such a Gzeiras Hashmad, the government, like under the Russians, under the Communists, they didn't allow them to observe any mitzvah. So they didn't allow them to observe Yom Kippur. They're going to kill someone. They're going to put him in prison for life if he's going to observe Yom Kippur. Omar Rove Shmodahav, there was a Shas Hashmad. So they weren't allowed to observe Yom Kippur. Shas Hashmad said they're not going to observe Yom Kippur. So they sent a letter from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Apparently this Shas Hashmad wasn't Bavel. So they sent a letter, the Yom Kippurim, the Hoshata Shabbatahu. The Goyim let them take off every Shabbos. Every Shabbos the Jews didn't do any work. And Yom Kippur, they didn't want them to observe. So that year, in order that they shouldn't forget that there's an institution of Yom Kippur, so the Rabban of Meretzel sent a letter, we recommend that this coming Shabbos you should fast. Daven Yom Kippur Digit Davening. They believe that this coming Shabbos Yom Kippur. It was the 13th of Tishrei. It wasn't the 10th of Tishrei. 10th of Tishrei, the communists didn't let them observe Yom Kippur. So they said, Kedesh lo tishtakach mitzvos Yom Kippur, everybody should fast on Shabbos. Apela digazach. We say that Yeshkech v'yad chachamim laka dov men ator b'kum v'yasei Shabbos. You're not allowed to fast on Shabbos. So we say, if it's lahiro shor l'migda milsa, if it's a one-time affair, special l'migda milsa to accomplish something, so Bezin has the authority to tell us to violate the Dina HaTorah. Even b'kum v'yasei. So they told everybody to fast on Shabbos and to daven the musti the yontav d'gashman esrei from Yom Kippur on Shabbos. But it wasn't really Yom Kippur. It wasn't really Yom Kippur. It was only Shabbos. Yom Kippur they had to violate because the Goyim didn't let them. So Vishalch Mitam, the Yom Kippur, the Hashata, this year's Yom Kippur, Shabbatahu. This year we should observe on Shabbos. The Chen Kiyosa Ravim, Vachon Lechuse, when Ravim came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Vachon Lechuse, and all of those who are Yardim. Eretz Yisrael is Gevayim Mikol HaRotzes, the Gemara says in Kiddushin. Eretz Yisrael is higher up than Bavel. So someone who goes from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, someone goes from Eretz Yisrael to America, is called a Yorei. When you go from America to Eretz Yisrael, it's called an Oleh, because Eretz Yisrael Gevayim Mikol HaRotzes. So Achol Nechuse, all of those who are Yardim from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amru Ki Rava. They all said like Rava, that whole Girsa in the Tosefta is incorrect. There never was a Machlekes Rabbi Yosegli Lein Rabbi Akiva, Chayv Achas, Chayv Shtayim, if it's Yom Kippur, Shechol Yis B'Shabbos. It's an Issa Basachas, of course you're Chayv Shtayim. The Maisa that they were talking about, you only chayv Mishum Shabbos, not because of Yom Kippur, because it wasn't really Yom Kippur, it was only Shabbos. The Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael recommended, because of the Shas Hashmad, they should act as if they're observing Yom Kippur on Shabbos, that they shouldn't forget that such an institution as Yom Kippur.
So why wouldn't they be over two chatos? Why would they have to bring two?
Everyone agrees. In that case, everyone agrees. You are chayv to know if it's really Yom Kippur Shechalis B'Shabbos. It's a two.
But in this case here,
it's a fake Yom Kippur. It's only Yom Kippur. The Rabbanim make believe that we shouldn't forget the institution. Only Shabbos. So if a guy did Chilul Shabbos b'shoigeg, okay, so b'chai b'chatas. But if he's Mechal Shabbos b'mezid, and he forgot that it was Yom Kippur, well, it was a fake Yom Kippur, it wasn't really Yom Kippur. So you're not chayiv b'chatas because you did Moloch on a fake make-believe Yom Kippur mid-Rabbanan.
Actually happened, or it's theoretical. They want to reconcile
Shitas. No. All of the Rabbanim who came from Eretz Yisrael said that psak.
It actually happened.
That in Bovel, in Eretz Yisrael, there was no Gzeiras Hashmad. In Bovel, there was a Gzeiras Hashmad against the Jews not to observe Yom Kippur. They allowed them to observe Shabbos. They didn't allow them to observe Yom Kippur. So the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael Sholchom Eitam. They sent a letter from Eretz Yisrael to Bovel, that they should make believe as if Shabbos is Yom Kippur, and they should fast on Shabbos, they should daven the Yom Kippur davening on Shabbos, not to forget. But it wasn't really Yom Kippur, that was a fake. So in that case, that's when the Amora said, who is it? Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yanke bar Giora, name of Rabbi Yechanan, that if Shogag b'Shabbos yechayev chatos, Shogag Yom Kippur not chayev chatos, because it wasn't really Yom Kippur, it was only a fake. So this Gemara is a pella. Why the Gemara thought initially that this Issa Basachas has to do with an Issa Koilo? The Pashta says Issa Basachas is Chal. Which one are you going to throw out? Of course they're both Chal. Basachas, they're both Chal. So that's what Tosfos does really. Tosfos works very hard. They don't understand Rashi's Pshat. This is a strange Gemara. Yeah. So now we're going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah had the Machlokes HaTanoim, the Issa Gid Anoshe. The original story was the Malach broke Yaakov Avinu's leg. So, in order to remember that story, Akein LeYochel Menei Sos Gid Anoshe. We're not allowed to eat Gid Anoshe. So the Tanoim had a Machlokes, but the Gid Anoshe only applies in a kosher animal, where the rest of the animal may be eaten, the Gid Anoshe may not be eaten. Or do you say it even applies in an elephant, even applies in a horse, even applies in a donkey, even though the rest of the flesh is also asar. But still, if you eat the Gid-Anosh, you get twice malchus. So that was the machlekes in the Mishnah. So the Gemara is going to quote the Tosefta that elaborates on the machlekes of Yudah and the Rabbanan. Tanya, Omer lo Rab Yudah, the machlekes was, it says, Alkein Leochel B'nei Yisrael, is Gid Hanoshe. So Rabbi Yudah says Bnei Yisrael means the children of Yaakov Avinu weren't allowed to eat Gid Hanoshe. The Chachamim disagree. Bnei Yisrael means the Jewish nation. After Matan Torah was given, it wasn't given at that time. Kodem Matan Torah, there was no prohibition of Gid Hanoshe. That's Machlokes Rabbi Yudah and the Rabbanan. Tanya Amar Lo Rabbi Yudah, so the Chachamim argued with Rabbi Yudah. V'chinemar Al Kein Lo Yochel Bnei Yaakov is Gid Hanoshe. It doesn't say the children of Yaakov don't eat. Goes on the Jewish people after Matan Torah. So here where it says Akein Leyochel Bnei Yisrael is Gid Anoshe, it means that the Jewish people don't eat Gid Anoshe, but it wasn't given in the days of Yaakov Avinu. It was only given later. So it's self understood. It was only applies to animals where the flesh is kosher and the Gid Anoshe is asa. But an elephant and a horse and a donkey, it's treif anyway, a pig. It's treif anyway, so the Gid Anoshe is not prohibited. So that's what the Chachamim argue. It wasn't the Lo Nikra Bnei Yisrael at Sinai. Ela the Sinai Ne'emar, the mitzvah of Gid Anoshe wasn't given till after Har Sinai. Lo Shendichta B'mkomo, but it appears in Parshas Vayishlach, Leida Me'ezat Tam Nesalahem. You should know the historical background. The background of the mitzvah of Gid Anoshe, because the Malach broke Yaakov Avinu's leg. Shai. How can they say that the Jewish people is never referred to as Bnei Yisrael until after Matan Torah? That's not true. Masiv Rava, the Pasuk says, when Yaakov Avinu passed away, so the children carried him back to Eretz Yisrael and they buried him in the Maris HaMachpelah. It says, Vayisur Bnei Yisrael as Yaakov Avim. Bnei Yisrael doesn't mean the Jewish nation. It means the children of Yaakov Avinu carried him back. Vayisur Bnei Yisrael as Yaakov Avim. So you see that the term Bnei Yisrael does apply even Kodem Matan Torah. So what's your argument? It says Hakein Liyochu Bnei Yisrael is Gid Anoshe. Bnei Yisrael means the Jewish people after Matan Torah. No, Bnei Yisrael means the children of Yaakov Avinu, like over here. And for the Gemara, you're right. But the Malach changed his name after the Malach broke his leg. Then the Malach changed his name. He says his name should no longer be Yaakov. His name should be Kiyam Yisrael Yeshmecha. Your name should be Yisrael. So the Gemara answers, Lacha Maiseh. after the Malach changed his name, in the original pasuk, Alken Leyochel Bnei Yisrael as Gidan Noshe, Alken Leyochel Bnei Yisrael, the Malach didn't change his name yet. So why does it say Bnei Yisrael? So that's what the Rabbanu, Rabbi Yudis, say Bnei Yisrael means that that pasuk was only proclaimed, was only given after Matan Torah. But then the Malach changed his name to Yisrael, and then the pasuk says Vayechol Bnei Yisrael. Vayisu Bnei Yisrael is Yankov Avin. The children of Yankov Avinu carried the father back to Mitzrayim. Freg the Gemara. Okay, but you see that at one point in history, way before Maimon HaSinai, his name, Yaakov Avinu's name was changed to Yisrael, and his children are called Bnei Yisrael. So Amalei Rav Acha Beidu Rav Le Rav Ashim Yahu Shaita Litzer. So at least from that time on, from the time that that pasuk was proclaimed, Vayisu Bnei Yisrael is Yaakov Avinu. So from that time on, it should be also Tid Gidan Osha. Why did the Chachamim, the Rabbi Yudah, disagree with Rabbi Yudah in the Mishnah? They say the prohibition against eating Gidan Osha was only given to Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael is only after Matan Torah. It's not true. Bnei Yisrael is after they buried Yaakov Avinu. They are called Bnei Yisrael. So why isn't it prohibited from that time on, after the death of Yaakov Avinu, should be prohibited to eat the Gidan Osha? So the Gemara says, Ma Pitom, it doesn't make any sense. Logically, it would make sense to say after the Malach broke Yaakov Avinu's leg, he shouldn't eat Gidan Osha. It makes sense that Torah was given to Har Sinai. But in between, after the death of Yaakov and the children carried him back to Eretz Yisrael, to bury him, the Chumash refers to them as Bnei Yisrael. That's neither here nor there. So they answer back on Rabbah's Kasha. Yeah, who is it? Ravashi. Ravashi answers back, Ravach made Rabbah's Kasha. The Torah was given a little now, a little later, a little later, a little later. It doesn't make sense. At the time that they buried Yaakov Avinu, they took him back from Mitzrayim there, it's Israel. That wasn't when the Malach broke his leg. It would make sense to say, like Rabbi Yudah, that when the Malach broke his leg, right away the din of Gidan Osha sets in. But the Rabbanan say no. The Jewish people, we're not called Bnei Yisrael yet. So we're only called Bnei Yisrael after Matan Torah. So it doesn't make sense that after the burial of Yankif, that the Pasuk calls them Bnei Yisrael should be awesome. It's neither here nor there. It's Lav Shas Maisah Boy. That's not when the Malach broke his leg. Lo Shas Matan Torah Boy. So what do you mean? The Torah was given a little bit at a time. Doesn't make any sense. That's the Loshon HaGemara. The Chitara Pa'amim Pa'amim Nitno. There's a strange Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchas Melochim, the Rambam says that there are seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Says if why they're called seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, why not b'nei Adam Rishon? Why only b'nei Noach? So he says because Adam Rishon was a vegetarian. The Gemara says that I wasn't allowed to eat flesh at all, so it wasn't shach to talk about Eidim and Achai. Eidim and Achai is only prohibited if you're permitted to eat flesh, then you're not allowed to eat Eidim and Achai.
So, able to eat flesh
and that's how the Rambam the question in Rishonim. The Pashup Shat in the Gemara is like you're saying, Adam Rishon wasn't allowed to kill any animals. But if the animal would die on his own, then he would be able to eat. So the Rambam understood not so. The Rambam understood that even if the animal dies on its own, he wasn't allowed to eat any flesh at all. Yeah. So the Rambam says only six mitzvahs were given to Adam Rishon. Eiv Melachai couldn't have been given because he had to be a vegetarian. After the Mabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kera Kesem Nesati Lachem Esko. Just like until now you were allowed to eat fruits and vegetables, so from now on you can eat flesh, just like you're always allowed to eat kiyara kesem and nasati, just like you're allowed to eat the fruits and the vegetables. So the Rambam says there were six mitzvahs, then Noach got, after the Mabul, Noach got the heta to eat flesh, and the prohibition to eat eiv menachai, and that's the way the religion was running to the days of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was given an additional mitzvah, bris milah. Yitzchak Avinu was given the opportunity to be mafrish maisris, pasuk and chumash. And then Yaakov Avinu was given the din of Gidan Osha. That's how the Rambam understood. The Rambam understood, we mentioned. The Rambam says there never was a machlokes when Gidan Osha was given. It certainly was given right after the Malach broke the leg of Yaakov Avinu. The machlokes in the Mishnah only is, why are we today obligated to continue to observe the prohibition of Gidan Osha? Was it repeated at Har Sinai? And that's why it's binding, because only dinim that were told to Moshe Rabbeinu are binding the Doris. Well, no, it didn't have to be repeated at Har Sinai. It was told to Yaakov Avinu, and that's it. Yaakov Avinu was told, don't eat Gid Anosh, and today it's binding because it was given to Yaakov Avinu. So then the Rambam has this long commentary in the Pirush HaMishnayos. He usually just has one or two lines. Maybe he has a whole long paragraph. And he says, no, the only Navi, Moshe Rabbeinu, was the Adon HaNavim. What does that mean? He gets an A+, and everybody else gets an A, and A minus. What does it mean, Adon HaNavim? It means he was the only one who was given dinim that are binding with Doris. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were great Nevi'im. They were not given anything that's binding the Doris. And the fact that today we still observe the mitzvah of Milah is not because it was given to Avram Avinu, but rather the Rambam says, rather because it was repeated at Sinai. And true, Gid Anosh, it was given to Yaakov Avinu right after Malach broke his leg, but it's not binding today because it was given to Yaakov, because Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNevi'im. If you want a din to be binding, the Doris has to be repeated, has to be given through Moshe Rabbeinu. That's how the Rambam writes. But then the Rambam writes, Avraham Avinu was given Bris Milo, Yitzchak was given an opportunity to be Mafrish Maisus. He wasn't obligated to be Mafrish Maisus, given an opportunity to be Mafrish Maisus in Eretz. So Yaakov Avinu was prohibited from eating Gid Anosh. Fine. And then he says, when the Jews were in Egypt, Amram, the father of Moshe Rabbeinu, was given several mitzvahs. We don't know where the Medrash is. Where did he get that one from? And then Moshe Rabbeinu was given the rest of the mitzvahs in Mitzrayim, and then a Harsina, then a Mor, and then a Harsina. So the Rambam does have Torah, Pamim, Pamim, Nitna. Some mitzvahs are given to Amram in Eretz Mitzrayim. The Gemara says there is no such thing. The Gemara says it doesn't make sense. You can't say the Yisra Gid Anosh was given after they buried Yaakov Avinu in Eretz Yisrael, because then they're called Bnei Yisrael. The Torah, Pamim, Pamim, Nitna was given at different times. It would make sense to say that the prohibition of Gid Anosh began right away when the Malach broke his leg. But if you say that that's not, the Chachamim don't agree with Reb Yudah, so you can't say it was given after the death of Yaakov Avinu. That's neither here nor there. The Torah was given in Har Sinai. It doesn't appear in Chumash another time. That pasuk that says, Vayishlach, Akein Leochem, and Esau's Gid Anosh, was told to Yaakov Avinu, and then we assume it was repeated again to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Baal Shem told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell it to Bnei Yisrael again. That's what it means.
Yeah.
The Rambam writes the same for Bris Milah. Today we're still obligated to observe Bris Milah, not because it was given to Avraham Avinu, but rather because it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai.
That's repeated.
Yeah, that is repeated in Tazria. Yeah, right. But that's a chiddush also. That's a chiddush also. That today we don't observe Bris Milah because it was given to Avraham, but rather because it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Gemara. Now the Gemara.
It's a little. The Gemara is Shem Chayakov, Kim Yisrael.
His name was changed to Yisrael, yeah.
But we did call him Yaakov too.
We still call him both Yaakov, yeah. Yeah, the Gemara says Avraham Avinu's name was changed to Avraham, and you're not allowed to use the old name. But Yitzchak Yaakov Avinu's name, he added on another name, Yisrael, but we didn't throw out the old name. The Gemara in Brachas draws the distinction. Why should there be such a distinction? So the Pasha Pshat is Avraham Avinu, before he became Jewish, he had a Goyish name. Jesus, Christopher, whatever. So after he converts, he became Jewish. That's not nice to use the old Goyish name. Yaakov Avinu, when he was born, was Jewish, so the name Yaakov was a Yiddish name. It's not a Goyish name. Then the Malach gave him a name, Yisrael. Why should he throw out the old name? The old name is good and the new name is good. They're both good names. But the first name of Avraham Avinu was a Goyish name. So that's why we throw it out. After his name was changed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avraham, so HaKoyle Avram. HaKoyle Avraham Avram. Oyve Be'esei. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to refer to Avraham Avinu by the old name. That's a Goyish name. We have a nicer name for you. Not only should you be called Yaakov, we have an even nicer name that's preferable. But he didn't mean that it's awesome. Yeah, that's how the Gemara Brachas understands. Now the Gemara is going to go on a new topic. The theme now is going to be end of the prayer is going to be about Isser Chalalisa, different cases, combination cases. So to introduce it, there's going to be a discussion. There is an Issa Ev Manachai. So the question is, which animals does it apply? Ev Manachai Noik Bebehema Chai Viof. That's Chiddush number one. You shouldn't think that it only applies to Behemoth and Chayas, even applies to Oifas. We were learning different prokim here, so we had some dinim Kisi Adam only applies to Chayev Yof, and it doesn't apply to Behemoth. And Chelev is only also by Behemoth, it's Mutter. Chelev Chayev is Mutter. And Giron Osher is only applicable to Behemoth. The Chayev doesn't apply to Of. And Oisabez Beno only applies to Behemoth, doesn't apply to Chayev. Some Dinam only apply to Behemoth, some Dinam only apply to Chayev, some Dinam apply to both. So the Shad is what's with Eid Menachai. So the first Tana holds, it applies to all three, Behemoth, Chayev, Yof. Then he says, Bein Tmein, Bein Tor, whether it's a kosher animal or an elephant. You take an Eid Menachai from an elephant and you eat it, you're Oivan and Nisa, Eid Menachai, even though it's a treifa animal. Divrei Rabbi Abloza, two Tanoim. Rabbi Abloza both say that the Iser Eid Menachai applies to all three Behemoth, Chayev, Yof, and applies whether kosher animal or non kosher animal. V'chachamim Maimrim, and Chachamim disagree. That what an annoying elabit to her. They agree with the first half, Behemachai Biof. They don't disagree. There's going to be a Tana later who's going to disagree with that on the next daf. But here they don't disagree with Behemachai Biof, but they disagree by Tameim. An annoying elabit to her. What is it all based on? Svara? Amrav Yechan and Shtem Yikarecha Dorsh. Everything is based on the Pasuk. How do you read the Pasuk? The Pasuk says, Rak Chazak Levilti Achol Hadam. Adam hu anefesh v'lasoch al anefesh im abasar. That's all one pasuk. So the pasuk puts together is Adam with v'lasoch al anefesh im abasar is Eid Menachai. The two isurim. You shouldn't eat Adam, you shouldn't eat Eid Menachai. So Rabbi Yudav, Rabbi Loza, the first two Tanoim Sabri, they think any animal, kol sh'atom etzuva al doma, any animal that you're not allowed to eat Adam, atom etzuva al evara, v'hani temeim, elephant and horse and donkeys, non-kosher animal, you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat the flesh of the animal. But if you eat it, you get malchus. You're not chayv karis. But if you eat the dam of a behema chayv, dam applies to behema chayv yof. All three. Dam of dogim is mutter. Fish. You don't have to salt the fish to remove the dam. The dam of the dogim is mutter. But the dam of behema chayv yof has an isa karis on it. Dam applies to all three. Dam applies to behema tmeim, behema tor. Bahani Tmeim, the non-kosher animals, the elephant with the horse, with the donkey, Nami also, Choyel, Ata Mitzuva Al Doman, Ata Mitzuva Al Evar. That's how the first two Tanaim, Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Lezer hold, that the Pasuk links together Eid Menachai with them. But Rabbanan say no, it only applies to Behemoth Torah. So why? Because the Pasuk reads, L'Sech Al Nevesh Ma'abasar Al Abasar L'Chudei. The Mashmoy says, you're not allowed to eat Eid Menachai if it was detached from the animal while it's alive. Elabasa l'chodei should only eat the flesh. So what's the mashmas? Kosher b'sar mutter. If you have a kosher bird or a kosher behemah chai b'yof, atamutzuv aleivarav, then you're allowed to eat the basar, but you're not allowed to eat the menachai. However, it's a non-kosher animal, an elephant. Kosher b'sar mutter, atamutzuv aleivarav. That's the machlekes. That's Rabbi Yechon. It's a shnei mikrech adosha. All the Tanoim is not two. Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Lozer, two Tanoim, and Chachamim, and the third Tanoim. It's not the Gemara had a lashon shnei mikrech ador. They're both shitas. The three people, but they're both shitas are based on the same pasuk. Feg the Gemara Akasha. Rabbi Yudah is the one who says in the Mishnah that a gedanasha is noig b'tmeim. And if you eat gedanasha of a behema tmeya. Here, the last line on Kuf on the base, the last two lines. Ha'oichel gilanosha shall behemot tameya. I eat the gilanosha of a horse, of a donkey. Rabbi Yudah mechayev shtayim. Mechayev twice malchus. One malchus because he ate behemot tameya. The animal, when it was an embryo in its mother's womb, before the donkey was born, it already had basar. So there was ready an isa not to eat basar behemot tameya. Then when it's born, it develops later in the pregnancy, in the later stages in pregnancy, then the Gidanasha develops. So the Gidanasha is chal on top of Behemoth Tmeya. And it was an issue of Isa chal alisa. So how does Rabbi Yudah say Yechayv Shtayim? You get twice Malkus. If you eat the Gidanasha of a donkey, you get twice Malkus. Once because it's Behemoth Tmeya, once because it's Gidanosha, but the Issa Gidanosha is Chal after, once you say Enis Chal Alisa. So the answer is because the second Issa Gidanosha even applies to Bnei Yankiv. It applies to many more people. The first Issa of Behemoth Tmeya only applies to the Jewish people after Matan Torah. And the second Iser is much more inclusive. It's like an Iser Moisif. Second Iser applies to more people, even applies to the Ovis Kodem Matan Torah, even applies to the Bnei Anker Kodem Matan Torah. The Buddha says that that's a case of Iser Chal al Iser. The second Iser is Chal on the first Iser, because it includes more people, it includes the Bnei Anker. So the Gemara asks the Kasha here, the Buddha says that the Iser of Eved Menachai even applies to non-kosher animals, even applies to a donkey. Why? So the Gemara, Rabbi Yechon says, all based on a pasuk. So the Gemara asks Akashi, what do you need a pasuk for? Why don't you say, Eved Menachai applies even to non-Jews? Forget about Bnei Yankel, Kodim Atar. Eved Menachai is one of the Sheva Mitzvah Benach, it applies to non-Jews. So why doesn't he simply say, when you have of the behemoth Temeah, you have a donkey, so the basar is also for all Jews to eat. But then when an aver gets detached from it, it gets ripped off from the organism, it becomes an Eved Menachai. This Eved Menachai is going to be chal on top of this behemoth Temeah, because Eved Menachai is chal even legabi bnei noach. Even nochrim today are not allowed to eat the Eved Menachai. So that's the Gemara effect. Akasha Vireb Yehuda, here about 7 lines down from the top of Dav Kubesa Menal. Vireb Yehuda, he says, Reb Yehuda and Reb Loza both say the same thing, that Eved Menachai applies even to Behemoth Temeah. So Freg the Gemara, but according to Reb Yehuda Lama Likro, why does he need the Pasuk that Reb Yechanan pointed out from the Pasuk? That Kol Shat HaMetzuval Dom HaMetzuval Eivarov, and even a Behemoth Temeah, there's an Issa Dam, therefore there's an Issa Eved Menachai. Freg the Gemara, Lama Likro, why does Reb Yehuda need the Pasuk? Laisi Issa Eved Menachai, let it come, Sheyavo, Laisi is the Aramaic. Shayavo Isa Eid Menachai Velecha, let it be chal on the Isa Tumah. Why? She can't Isa Noach Bibnei Noach. Just like Rabbi Yehuda said before, that the Isa Gid Anoshe is chal on top of Behemoth Temeah, because Gid Anoshe is Noach given by Bnei Yanke, Kodemat Meir is Noach on more people. So the Isa Eid Menachai is Noach on many more people. It's Noach on all the Goyim also. Noach on the Bnei Noach. So why shouldn't, why do you need a Pasuk to teach you that? Based on the rules and regulations of any Sechal Alisa, he should have said it on his own. The Gemara says, you're right, Rabbi Yehuda does need a Pasuk. The one who needs the Pasuk is Rabbi Elazar. It's Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar both say the same thing. So Rabbi Yehuda Lishitosai can explain very simply why Eid Menachai is Chal on top of Behemoth Temeah. Because Shkein Yisurin Noach B'Minach, Enach Enami, you're right. Chitz Tuchrol, Rabbi Elazar. Only Rabbi Elazar needs the Pasuk. Then the Gemara says, and it's Takatanya Nami Hocha, there is a Befeirish Ebraisa that says, the Rav Loza is the one who says this drasha. Kol Shata Mitzuv Al Dama, Ata Mitzuv Al Eivor. Tanya Nami Hocha, there's a Braisa that attributes this comment to Rav Loza, not to Rav Yehuda. Eid Menachai Noig Be Behem Echai Veyot Bein Tmei Man Tarm Shinema, Rak Chazak Lidol Tiachol Adam, Kol Shata Mitzuv Al Dama, Ata Mitzuv Al Eivor, and if you Ata Mitzuv Al Dama, Ata Mitzuv Al Dama, Rav Loza. They quote Rav Loza is the one who says that drasha. Rav Yechanan didn't know. Rav Yechanan before, 2 lines from the bottom of Kuf Aleph from the base, Rav Yechanan says, like he discovers on the sun, Shnei Mikra Echa Darsha. The Tanaim are all working on the same pasuk. He didn't realize that it's a Beferish Braisa that says like that. But the Braisa is only Aliba the Rav Loza. Rav Yehuda doesn't need that mocker from the pasuk. Rav Yehuda would know on his own that just like Gid Anosh is Chal on top of Visa Behemoth Temeah. So the Yisrael Eved Menachai is also Chal on top, because it's Noach B'Bnei Noach. The Chachamim and Chachamim disagree. That's how we paskan. Eved Noach Yalei B'Tahorim. Eved Menachai only applies if it's a kosher animal. Shenema, L'Sochal HaNevashim HaBosol HaBosol L'Chudei. You're not allowed to eat Eved Menachai, but you're allowed to eat the flesh. So kosher b'sar mutter, if it's a kosher animal, then you're allowed to eat the flesh, then at the mitzvah alevar, don't eat Eved Menachai. But kosher ain't b'sar mutter, if the whole animal is treif, then the Torah doesn't have to prohibit Einat HaMetzuvah Alevar. So these shittas we know. So the first shita was Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Loza. They hold Eved Menachai applies to all three, Behemachai Viof, and at both kosher and non-kosher. The Chachamim disagree on the second half. They agree Behemachai Viof, but they hold only kosher and doesn't apply to non-kosher. But Rabbi Meir is the third shita. Rabbi Meir, a new shita, and a new galabit Behemah Tahora Bilvad. The second half, only Tahora, not Temeah, that we understand from the Mashmos of the Pasuk. Torah says, don't eat Eved Menachai, means eat the flesh, but don't eat Eved Menachai. But how does he come off to say it's only Noach B'Behema? It doesn't apply to Oaf, and it doesn't apply to Chaya. What's up? Why shouldn't it apply? Why shouldn't it apply? So the Gemara is going to ask the question. So the Gemara has a whole different versions. Who said this? It's seven lines of who's speaking now. Amar Rabbi Bar Shmuel in the name of Amar Rav Chisda. Itayma, and there's another version that has it in the name of Rav Yosef. The Amri Lo, another version has it Amar Rabbi Bar Shela Amar Rav Chisda. Itayma Rav Yosef. I'm not sure. The Amri Lo, and the third version has it Rabbi Vasimi Amar Rav Chisda. Itayma Rav Yosef. By the time the Gemara was written, the Gemara was written down centuries after Ravina Rabash. It was written down in the days of the Gaonim. So by the time, and there was a machlokes then whether they should write it down. Many Gaonim were opposed to writing down the Gemara. It's supposed to be Torah Baal Peh, supposed to be transmitted Baal Peh. The mazel is that that they did write it down. By the time they wrote it down, there were only three different versions. Who's talking in the name of who? You have all over Shas like that. Every so often you have in the Gemara two versions. What did Ravina Rabashi say? So if we usually assume Rabbi and Rabashi were the ones who wrote down the Gemara. So if they wrote down the Gemara, what do you mean you're not sure what they said? They're the ones who wrote down the Gemara. Obviously, they're not the ones who wrote down the Gemara. It's clear from historical sources. The Gemara was written down in the days of the Goyim. The Mishnayos were written down in the days of Ravina and Rabashi. Rabbi Yudah Nasi edited the Mishnayos, but most Achrayim and most history books assume that it was still being recited by Peh. Even after Rabbi Yudah Nasi edited the Mishnah, he says, still we're reciting Baal Peh till the days of Ravina v'Ravashi, when they wrote down the Mishnahs. They didn't write down the Gemara till centuries later in the days of the Goinim. So by the time they wrote it down, every so often there are three versions over here. There are three versions with two variations of each one of the three versions. Who's speaking in the name of whom? Sometimes major discrepancy, not stam the name of the person, but he said Osir Amuta. Sometimes there are major discrepancies. So, Bikitza.
They didn't want to take credit.
They always give the tradition who's speaking, but they're not sure who it is. So they quote all the three versions with the two variations on each one of the versions, whether it's Rav Chisda or Rav Yosef. Yeah. So finally, whoever's speaking, what do they say? My time with Rav Meir. Where did Rav Meir get this Einfall? He disagrees. The second half of what Rav Meir said, we understand. The Reb Menachai only applies on a kosher animal. You're not allowed to eat Reb Menachai, but the flesh is kosher. It doesn't apply to a treif animal. That we understand. But how does he come off to say that it only applies to behema? It should apply to Chai V'yof also. Ma piton, why should Reb Menachai not apply to Chai V'yof? So then, my time at the Rav Meir is based on another pasuk. Kamakrav is avachdim in bekorcho umitzoncho. There's something missing here. Let's see, where's the Rashi? I think in the next pasuk talks about Dave Menachai. Where's the Rashi? Oh, here's the Rashi. It's all the way over here. Bekorcho mitzoncho. The Rashi is around 20 lines from the top, 18 lines from the top. Bekorcho mitzoncho uchsid b'hasrei. Right after that, it gives the din of Dave Menachai. The next pasuk. So since it talks about Bok of its own, that's only behemoth. Bok of its own is behemoth, so chayas are not included, and oifas are not included. Yeah, but we don't pass on like that. We pass on like the chachamim, but it applies to behemoth, chay, v'yof, and only to horim, not to me. We don't pass on like Reb Meir. So Nachamal said, there was a machlekes hatanoim in the Brisa here, where the prohibition of Eva Menachai applies to a non-kosher animal. Why? Because the pasuk sounds like the flesh is mutter, but don't eat Eva Menachai. But the whole donkey is asr, the whole horse is asr. So you can't eat anything, so what do you have to talk about Eva Menachai? So the Gemara says, this whole machlekes hatanoim, whether the Isar Eva Menachai, if he ate menachai, would you get malchus or not if he ate from a behemoth tomato? So the Gemara says, the ganze machlokes only is by Yisrael. A Jewish person will eat that ate menachai from a horse, from a donkey. Let's say a goy will eat that ate menachai from a horse or a donkey. So the horse and the donkey is mutter for the goy to eat. So as far as he's concerned, it should be. That's what the Gemara says. Omarav, gil omarav, the ganze machlokes only is by Yisrael. The machlek is between Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Lazar against the Chachamim and the Braisan Kul, the follow from the base, whether the Issa Ev Menachai is restricted only to Tohirim, or even applies to Temeim, that's if a Jew is eating Ev Menachai. So the Torah says, don't eat Ev Menachai, but the flesh would, otherwise the flesh would be mutter. But if it's an elephant or a horse anyway, so the whole flesh is Asar, so the Torah doesn't have to talk about Ev Menachai. But for non-Jews, elephants are mutter, and donkeys and horses are mutter. So there will be a nisei of menachai. That's what he says. The ganza machlokes only is be Yisrael. It's an issue of sort of a nisei chalalis avol ben noyach. But as far as a non-Jew is concerned, the hakom lizrael atmen kit toherim. By the guy, it doesn't make a difference whether it's a horse meat or cow's meat. Everything is mutter, and there would be an eid menachai and everything. Tanya nami hachi. We have a perish ebraisa that supports what Rav Gittel says in the name of Rav. What does it say, Tanya nami hachi? Eid menachai benoach muzer alav al hatmeim kitahorim. As far as the guy is concerned, the horses and the donkeys are the same as the cows and the sheep. So the din of eid menachai will certify. However, Yisrael, a Jewish person, ein muzer ela al hatahorim belvad. A Jew will only get malchus for eating eid menachai if he eats from a kosher animal. In other words, like the chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Loza. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Loza hold that it even applies to behem, but to meyo, so we don't pass them like that. So here in this brisa, there are two girsas the Gemara has. Be Yisrael, how do you end off the sentence? By Ben Noyach, the prohibition of Eid Menachai applies equally to kosher animals, non-kosher animals. As far as the goy is concerned, it's all the same thing. Non-kosher animals are muta. However, Yisrael is only forbidden to eat Eid Menachai ela al ha-tahorim in the plural. What do you mean? Tahorim goes on all three, on behem, mechai, v'of. And Ika Diamri, another version, has a girsa in this braisa, tahora, el al ha-tahora, that follows Rameir's opinion. Rameir says it only applies to behema tahora. It doesn't apply to chayaviyof. So if the girsa is tahora, then you're assuming the Rameir. The braisa goes like Rameir. Right. Ikadami Tahora Viradmeir. Ikadami Tahorim Viradbon. Some have the Girsa and the Braisa and the singular Tahora, so it only goes like Radmeir, only goes on Behema. Doesn't apply to Chayviyov. And Ikadiyam based on their Pasik in where was the other Pasik? In Dvarim, yeah. That that Evmanachai is written in connection with Bukhorchov Zavacht Mibkorchov Mitzoncha. And the other Girsa has Tahorim and the plural, it goes on all three, Behema Chayviyov. Okay. So fine, so they dug up a braisa that says like that, that by a nochri, by b'nei noyach, the prohibition of eid menachai applies equally to tmeim, just like to her. But that's only a braisa. So the Gemara says, we have better than a braisa, we have a mishnah. Amar av shizvi, af anana mitinir. I don't need your braisa. Braisas are not always reliable. The Gemara says, any braisa that wasn't approved by Rav Chiya of Rav Boshe to be incorporated in the Tosefta may not be such a braisa and may not be authentic. So this braisa that we just quoted doesn't appear anywhere in the Tosefta. So it could be that it's a megumgum, could be that it's a mishabesh, it could be that it's not correct. But he's Amrav Shizvi, it's a mishnah. I don't need the braisa. It's a beferish mishnah. Afanana mitinim, but this is not going to be so easy. This Mishnah is not so clear. What does it say? Ochal ev menachai mimeno. What are we talking about over here? Where's the Rashi? Afana nami tnino. So Rashi tells you. You see the Rashi over here. Yud gimel dovar nemru b'nivla saif tohar. There are 13 detailed halachas regarding nivla saif tohar. Let's say a chicken never had a shechita, so that's nivla saif tohar. An eagle is a non-kosher bird, so it's not chal shechita on it. So if an eagle dies, and it can have shechita, even if he did a shechita, it's not called a shechita. So nivla saif tameh is a different din. So one difference between nivla saif tameh and nivla saif tohar is it metameh or not. If a human being dies, so whoever comes in contact with tameh for 7 days, and you need hazal shlishi shvi, you can't just go to the mikveh. You have to first have pour adum water sprinkled on you at least three days after you became tamei, 2 days later. I went to the funeral on Sunday, so Sunday, Monday, Tuesday is hazal shlishi, and then I went on Sunday, so Shabbos will be the 7th day. You're not allowed to be maz on Shabbos, that's misakam manam, the rabbanon. So I better not have the hazal on Tuesday. Better have the Hazar on Wednesday and then have second. The din is you need Hazar Shleshi Shmi means you can't have before the 3rd day. You can have 20 years after. You can't have before the 3rd day. Can't have before the third day, yeah. And then there's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Rabbi, the two girsas in the Gemara, in Maseches Kiddushin. Let's say a person went to the funeral on Monday, and then he has Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, has the first Hazor Shlishi on Wednesday, and then he waits a month, and then he has Hazor Shvi later. So is that good? You have to wait a minimum of 4 more days, but you can wait another 4 years also, and that's good for Hazor Shlishi Shvi. That's how they arrive. All the Rambam says, no, it has to be like this. It has to be at least 2 days after you attended the funeral. So if you attended the funeral on Monday, you can't have Hazor Shlishi until Tuesday, Wednesday. Wednesday is the first day, then you have to have exactly 4 days later. From Wednesday till Sunday, so Sunday is Hazor Shvi. And if you're going to wait till 4 months later, a day later, so the Hazor Shlishi Shvi is no good, you got to start all over again. The Hazor that you have 4 weeks later is Hazor Shlishi, you have to start all over again. That's the way we have the Girsa in the Gemara. The Rambam has, once in a while, the Rambam is not Shver. Once in a while, when there's machlek, is the Rambam, the Rabbi. The Rambam says what it says in the Gemara. Usually they're Shver Rambams. So here the Rambam says what it says in the Gemara. The Rabbi had a different Girsa. The Rabbi has the Girsa that Hazor Shvi doesn't have to be Dafka 4 days after Shlishi. It could be 4 years after also. It just can't be before the Yom HaShvi. Hazor Shlishi can't be before Yom HaShlishi. And Hazor Shvi has to be at least 4 days after Shlishi, but it can be 4 years later also, and it'll also be good. So Nachamo, so what's the din? If you come in contact with a mace, you tell me if it's a mace odom, a human mace. We call a human being a dice called a mace, a behemoth dice called an avela. Strictly speaking, it's the same thing. But by human beings we call it a mace, and by behemoth we call it an avela. So if you touch a dead human being, you tell me for 7 days, and you need Hazor Shlishi Shvi, pour aduma water. And we say there's even 3 kinds of tuma: there's maga, there's masa, and there's even ohel. If it's a goy who died, that's a machlekes satanan, whether there's tumas ohel, and a machlekes harishanim had a paskin, whether mesi akama metami ohel or metami maga namas. So that's if you touch mace odam, you tell me for 7 days, and you need Hazor Shlishi Shvi, and then you can go to the mikveh to become tov. What if you touch? You go to the A&P and they sell nevela meat that wasn't geshachten. So if you touch the meat, that's maga. The meat is always in a package, so you can't touch the meat. So if you pick up the package, then it's metame b'masa. It's not metame b'ohel. So it's metame b'maga or b'masa, not metame b'ohel. But it's, you're not tame for 7 days, you don't need hazor shlishi shvi. You go to the mikveh, after you touch it, you go to the mikveh and you have higher shemesh and you become Torah. So that's if you touch nivlas behema or chaya, nivlas behema or chaya. What if you handle nivlas of? So then the pasuk distinguishes between nivlas of tohar and nivlas of tomei. If you touch a dead eagle, nivlas of tomei, there's no tumero, no maga, no masa, no achila, not metamero. You're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to eat it, but it's not metamero. If you come in contact with nivlas of tohar, so then it's not metame maga or masa. If you pick it up, let's say pick up a chicken in the A&P. The chicken was not geshochten properly. It's not a kosher chicken, an avela chicken, a non-kosher chicken. So if you pick it up, or if a dead eagle, so if you touch it, you pick it up, it's not metame at all. Not metame at all. If you eat nivla saif tohar, it's metame abes abliya. When you swallow it, when it goes down your throat, if it's nivla saif tohar, it's metame abes abliya. It's a very strange din. What kind of a din is that? What is it? Maga. If you touch the nivla saif tohar, it's not metame b'maga on the outside. Only metame b'maga if it's in your throat. So some rishonim hold that it's exeris akos, so it's only maga. Usually that's called maga beis hastorm. Usually maga beis hastorm is not metame at all. So here, dafke, it's not metame b'maga if you touch it outside, nivla saif tohar, it's only metame b'maga beis hastorm. Other rishonim write that it's b'masa beis hastorm. Tame b'masa. What's the difference whether maga or masa? Difference is, what if I swallow nivla saif tohar wrapped up karcha b'siv? It's wrapped up in a cover. So if it's metame b'maga, so if it's not touching my throat, it's not metame b'maga, because there's no maga. I swallow it in a plastic covering or something. But if it's metame b'masa, so there is masa. And then there's a third opinion, that's the Rambam's opinion, that it's not metame b'maga, not metame masa, it's metame b'achila. The maisa achila is metame. What's the difference whether it's metame b'achila Well, you say it's maga masa nafkamina is. What if you eat a half a gazayis now and a half a gazayis later? Tocha de achilas pras. So if it's metame ba achila, so tocha de achilas pras is mitzarf together the gazayis. So it's metame ba achila. That's what the Rambam writes. And the Toras Kohanim says beferish not so. Toras Kohanim is against the Rambam. That so they ask, how did the Rambam come up to say against the Toras Kohanim? So the Rambam understood that the Gemara is achilik on the Toras Kohanim. The Sifra says it's not mitzarif. It's not mitzarif tocha de achilas pras. Toras Kohanim seems to hold either like that day that it's maga beis hastorm or it's masa beis hastorm, but it's not achilas. So that Rabbi Yosef Finkel has a whole essay. It shows that there are three different opinions. Rabbi Chaim has. That's Rabbi Chaim and Rabbi Yosef Engel have the exact same essay. That you can understand this din in three different ways. Nivla seif tohar zon mitame bebeis habliya. When you swallow it, what kind of a din is that? Is it betoris maga? Is it betoris masa? Or is it betoris achilo? Neither of the above. Is it betoris achilo?
If you ate a toch kdei dibur, that would be even better than bechdei achilas pras.
I don't think so.
How come?
I don't think so. Let's say I touch a mace. Let's say there's no ohel. I touch a half a gezayis of the mace, and I touch another half a gezayis of the mace. I don't think they're mitzarfim. I think they have to have the gezayis mamish bevasachas. I don't think the din of tech de dibur would help over here. I don't think so. So there's a difference between Nivla Saif Tahar and Nivla Saif Tameh. Nivla Saif Tahar, if it's a kosher bird, a chicken, a turkey, and it didn't get a proper shechita, so the din is Nivla Saif Tameh, Tameh Bebeis Habliya. If you swallow it, it's Metameh you when it goes down your throat. The Beis Habliya is when it goes down your throat. And there are three different interpretations. Why is it Betoris Metameh, Betoris Achila, Betoris Maga, Betoris Mas? Nivla Saif Tameh is not Metameh at all. No Maga, no Masa, no Achila. Not mitame at all. So the Mishnah writes, there are yud gimel dinim nemru benivlas. Where is that Rashi? Yud gimel dinim nemru benivlas oif tar. So the Mishnah is listing off all the various dinim. So it says, Omar Avshizvi, about 10 lines from the bottom of Kulbeis Amar Aleph, he says, Omar Avshizvi, apanana mitinina. I have a raya from a Mishnah in Taharis. The brisa that you quoted maybe is mishabeshta. It's not a sign of rabosha, so you can't necessarily prove it. It's not necessarily so reliable. But if it's a beferish mishnah, then it has the approval of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. He edited all the mishnayos. So what does it say? Ochal ev manachai mimeno. He ate the ev manachai from an ov tohar. Is this an Eif Tohar or an Eif Tomei? It's an Eif Tomei. From an Eif Tomei, Rashi writes. Where is again the Rashi? Yud Gimel Nam Nev Nivlas Eif Tohar V'kach V'kach. And so many there are 13 dinim on Nivlas Eif Tohar and a different number V'kach V'kach Nivlas Eif Tomei. It doesn't tell you how many. Mizuhi Mehem. And the following is one of the dinim that applies to Nivlas Eif Tomei and a dead eagle. What does Rashi have? Ochal eva manachai mimeno ba'oif tami kamayri. So it says, eino soifeg esor aboyim. Now, who are we talking about? Who's getting malchus? If a non-Jew eats eva manachai, he gets malchus? No, if a non-Jew, eva manachai is one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, azarasam zui misosam. Whenever the nochri violates one of the seven mitzvahs, he gets the death penalty. If a Nochri steals, he gets the death penalty. The Gemara says, a Nochri is Chai Misa, if he steals, Pachas Mishava Pruta. If he steals, it's Chai Misa. So if he eats, Eid Menachai is Chai Misa. So the Mishnah says, if you eat, Eid Menachai Mimeno, from an Oif Tome, Eina Sofika Sarabam, you don't get Malchus, that's talking about a Jew. That's not talking about a non-Jew. It's talking about a Jew, that there's no prohibition of Eid Menachai on non-kosher animals. The mitzvah of the prohibition of Eid Menachai only applies to kosher animals. Fine. Ve'en shchita mitaharosa. And if he shecht an oif tamei, the shchita will not be mitahir. What does that mean? An oif tamei doesn't have any tuma. There's only a tuma nivlas oif tahir, is mitame beis habliya. So what do you mean the shchita is not metaher the nivla saif tome from having tuma, but it doesn't have any tuma. What do you mean it's not metaher? So I mean it's not materit bachila. Of course it's not. It's an eagle. It's an ostrich. It's a treif, a bird. So the Gemara asks, b'mai, the second line and the first line, ochal ev menachai mimen if you ate it, ev menachai from the oif tome, you don't get malchus. That's talking about a Jew. But the second line, ein shchit mentarasa b'mai, whom are you talking about? You're also talking about a Jew, talking about a guy. E lema, if you should say be Israel, the second line in the Mishnah also goes on Jews. Shita den shchitasa mentarasa. What do you mean? It doesn't remove the tumah. There is no tumah by nivla saif tameh. The only tumah by nivla saif tahar. So it means it doesn't remove the isra achila. Like you say, I say that a horse and a donkey is a behemoth tameh. What do you mean behemoth tameh? Means non kosher. It doesn't mean it's tameh. So sometimes the word tameh means treif. Sometimes the word tameh means tumah v'tahar. So when it says over here, en shchitasa metaharasa, if you shecht a oif tameh, it's not going to be mitaher. Means that there's going to be tumah. There won't be any tumah. There is no tumah by nivlas of tome. So it means en shchitas mati rasa b'achila. Shchita is not mati b'achila. So the Gemara says it can't be talking about Jews. Of course, en shchitas mitaher rasa. It's a naif tome. So it must be referring el alabi b'nei noach. Must be talking by nochrim. That what? So what does it mean? So there's a lot missing over here. There's a lot missing over here. So the Tosfos explains. We usually have a din. Tosfos quotes the Gemara Daf Lamed Gimel earlier. We learned it already. Gemara says on Lamed Gimel, let's say you shecht, a Jew is shechting a behemoth. He shechts a cow. So when you shecht the kana neveshet, when you shecht the kana, the windpipe, so the lungs are now detached from the animal. So should I say the lungs become eiv menachai? You can eat the whole animal, but you can't eat the lungs, because I detached the lungs by cutting the kana, the windpipe. I cut off the kana detached from the animal before the animal died. Then I cut off the veshet. The animal is still jumping around. So you can't eat any of the kishke. The veshet is the food pipe, and all the kishkas are attached to the veshet. So how can you ever eat the lung? How can you ever eat the kishka? So the answer is, that's a din of shchita. If you did shchita properly, that's a din of shchita. But the whole concept of shchita only applies to Jews, doesn't apply to non-Jews. So you're not allowed to feed, if you shecht the cow, so be Israel by Jews, where the Torah tells us you have to do, follow the rules and regulations of shchita. So once you do the shchita, you can eat the lungs, you can eat the kishka also, you can eat the stomach also. But by non-Jews, let's say, you're not allowed to feed, you have this delicious kishka, or you have, let's say, lungs. They serve lungs at weddings also. So you're not allowed to feed the lungs to the goy, because it's eiv menachai for the goy. So the Gemara says, no, there is no thing. We paskin, mizam nemes anachri al b'nei me'ayim. You may invite the goy to eat even the kishka and even the lungs. The reason being, because Lek Amidi, Tosfos quotes, there is no such thing, Lek Amidi, the Yisrael Shari, Lav Gechav Masa. It cannot be that for the Jews, we're allowed to eat the lungs in the Kishke, because B'Shchita Tal Rachmana, Torah says this, you follow this procedure of Shchita, everything will be Mutter. By Goyim, there's no din of Shchita, so for the Goy, the lungs will be considered Eid Melachai. That's impossible. When the Torah gave, when the Rebbein Shalom gave the Torah to the Jewish people, he gave us more obligations, not that he gave us a lighter life. Gave him more mitzvahs than the goyim. So for us, it's mutter. The din clearly is the lungs and the kishkes are mutter. So you have to say bechreach miik and midi. There is no such thing that Israel mutter alanochri is also. So if for the Jews were allowed to eat the lungs and the kishke, the goyim are also allowed to eat it. But that's only by medvar mamurim. If you're shechting a kosher animal, the shechita takes effect. Here you're shechting a bird. You're shechting an oif tamei. You're shechting an eagle. So shechting an eagle is an oif tamei, is not nitfas and shechita. So the Mishnah says, en shechitasa metaharasa b'negeya to what? It doesn't mean the shechita doesn't remove the tumah. There is no tumah on nivlas oif tamei. En shechitasa metaharasa means it doesn't make it mutah b'achila. For whom? It means for goyim. If it would have been a kosher bird, I would have said the shechita is matir, even the lungs and even the kishkis for the Jew, and it's matir for the goy also, because mikanidi this all shari la'akamasa. But here it's an eftameh, so the shechita is not going to be matir for the Jew, so the shechita is not going to be matir for the goy either. So if the goy will eat the lungs or the kishkis of this bird, where we did a shechita, and shechitasim l'taharosa, the shechita will not remove the isa ev menachai on the lungs and on the kishkis. So you see that the din of ev menachai applies to bnei noach even on oif tomei, because the Mishnah is telling me there's a din of ev menachai on the lungs and on the kishke of the oif tomei if you shechted it. If you shoot it, then there won't be any isa ev menachai, because the lungs were not detached. But if you shecht the oif tomei, shecht the eagle, so when you shecht the kon and the veshet, you're detaching the isa ev menachai, doesn't end until the animal drops dead by going. By Jews, there's a din of shechitas. If you do shechita on oif tohar, shechita on a behemah toira, so that's the din. So even though the animal is still jumping around, the shechita took effect, and there's no ev menachai, not on the lungs, not on the kishkas. But if you're shechting an oif tamei, and oif tamei doesn't lend itself to shechita, so the whole meduber is only for bnei noach. So you can't say mi'ika midi, since for the Jews, the shechita is matir the lungs and the kishkas. It's not matir the lungs and the kishkas. It's an oif tamei, the shechita is not chav. So you can't say mi'ika midi. So then it says, beferish arayif in the Mishnah, that ev menachai is noiv, as far as bnei noach is concerned, even on an oif tamei. So that's what he proved from the Mishnah. That's what he proved. That's what he proved in the Mishnah.
It makes it worse. Right.
If you do shechita, you cause the lungs and the kishkas to become an ev menachai. So if it's a kosher animal and it's chal shechita, so since as far as the Jews are concerned, it's considered geshacht, and there's no isa ev menachai on the lungs and the kishkas, so it's even mutter for a goy. It can't be. For a Jew, it's mutter, for a goy, it's us. The Gemara says that the Gemara has a whole discussion in the first parak in Chayris. The Gemara raises the question, how do you know you're allowed to drink milk? What should be the issa? What's wrong with drinking milk? So the Gemara has two possibilities. The Gemara says that when a woman is nursing a baby and she has milk, so she does not have her period. So the Gemara thinks that there's a connection between dam necham and asa cholav. The cholav originally started off as dam. So there's a question of all milk. Why do you only prohibit milk from a pig as asa yetzim and atami asa? You should prohibit all milk in the world, even from a kosher cow, because the milk originated as dam. So since it started off as dam, it should have an asa dam. That's one suggestion the Gemara raises. Maybe that all the milk in the world should be asa because it started off as dam. The Gemara has another suggestion. Forget about dam necham and asa cholav, that there's a connection between the milk and the dam, maybe a live animal is asar b'achila. You're not allowed to eat a live animal, you didn't shecht it. So just like milk from a pig, you're not allowed to drink, because the pig is a behemoth tamei, so even a behemoth tor, but you didn't shecht it yet. So there's an isar enes avuach. So a live kosher animal should also be not kosher. So if you milk a live animal, it should also be asar. The Gemara says no. The Pasuk praises Eretz Yisrael, Zeretz Avos Chola B'Dvash, the land that flows with milk and honey, and the Torah will never praise Eretz Yisrael by bragging that it has treifa milk. So it must be that normal milk is kosher. Only milk from a behemoth tmei is us. Milk from a kosher animal is mutter, because the Torah praises Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Avos Chola B'Dvash. Fine. So you have a Pasuk that says that milk is mutter for the Jews. How do you know a goy is allowed to drink milk? So the Rishonim, the Achrayim all have this discussion. It must be Mi'ika Midi, but this Gemara and Daf Lama Gimel, the Tesis quotes here. It must be, if a Jew is mutter to drink the milk, must be mutter for the goyim also. Then the Rishonim raise an issue, the Baal HaTos raise an issue. How do you know you're allowed to eat eggs from a chicken, from a hen? Maybe eggs are Yotzim and Ha'asarasa. The hen, while it's alive, if Bas Hayana, the Torah says, if the ostrich lays an egg, so the Torah says, Bas Hayana is awesome. What do you mean, Bas Hayana, female Yana, and the male Yana is Mutta? No, all ostrich is treif. Bas Hayana means, Beitz Asaif Tomei is awesome. So the Rishonim ask a question, maybe Beitz Asaif Tohar should also be awesome. Eggs from the hen should also be awesome, because Behema Bachaya Becheskes Yisra Emetis. The hen calls man, you didn't shecht it, there's either egg Merachai, right? And a zvucha, whatever, there's some kind of an iser. Why don't we prohibit all the eggs in the world? So the Rishonim say, no, there's a pasuk that says, by Shiloh HaKan, means that you can eat it. So the Gemara says that's how you know that the din of Shiloh HaKan only applies if it's a kosher bird. If it's an unkosher bird, so the eggs are also, so you can't say tikaloch. So just like you have a pasuk that says that Eretz Avos Chol HaDvash, the milk is mutter, so you have a pasuk that says es habanim tikachloch, that the eggs of the kosher bird are mutter. So how do you know you're allowed to give eggs to a non-Jew? Maybe it should be a nisa ev melechai. So the Rishonim and the Achrayim give the Chassam Sofer, the Rabbi Kiveger, in that generation they have this whole discussion of, it's mutter for the Jews, must be mutter for the goyim as well. That's why they raise an issue: what if you're milking a cow that happens to be a trefa? So the Jews not allowed to drink the milk. So there is no niyka midi. So then taki, you're not allowed to, let's say an ostrich lays an egg. So taka, the ostrich egg, there is no niyka midi. So you're not allowed to sell a trefa egg to a goy, because it's lifnei velisi temichshol, because it's an isa egg menachai. There is no niyka midi there.
So for dvash, we apply it not just to date honey, but also to bee honey, right? So we have this exception that even though the bee itself is not a kosher thing, but since, you know, the pasuk praises the... So by that logic, shouldn't you also say that milk from a non-kosher animal should be permitted, just like honey from a non-kosher bee is permitted, so milk from a non-kosher animal?
The honey from the bee is a big machlokes in the first perek in Bechoris, and that's sugi with the milk. It's all in the same place, and there's two opinions in Shulchan Aruch how we pass. And one opinion in the Tanoim is that the bees just pick up, what do they pick up? The pollen from all of the different flowers, and then they just go through their system a little bit, it comes out again. That's not called Yetzim and Atomi. The pollen was all there from before. In order to be Yetzim and Atom, it has to be Godol bees. The milk is developed inside the pig, or the egg is developed inside the eagle. The eagle develops the whole egg. But here, the bee didn't really develop the honey. The bee picked it all up, and it touched it up a little bit. That's one opinion. So that only applies to bees. It won't apply to any other animal. The other opinion of Gemara is no, that the bees pick up all the pollen and it does a major job on it, and it should have been Yotzim and Atomei Tomei, and it should have been considered Gadol B'Yisa, but it's Exeris HaKosuv that it's Mutter. And then the Gemara says if it's Exeris HaKosuv, then it only applies to honey, only to Dvash Devoirim. It's Exeris HaKosuv, and you don't extend it to anything else.
But it's the same Kosuv that talks about.
I think the difference is that the Iser, the Magen Mishnah writes like this on the Rambam. The whole story goes like this. The Rambam says, "Bisar Adam is also be Iser Ese." Is it permissible to cannibalism? Is it permissible to eat human flesh? So what do you mean? I'm going to cut a person up? So of course you're not allowed to kill a person in order to eat this. That's out of the question. If a Jewish person dies, a Meis Asa Bano. So it's also Manoah, forget about the Ba'achila. Let's say a Nochri dies, I didn't kill him, I didn't cut it out from him, the Nochri dies, so Mi'ikir Adin, Meisei Akam are really Mutta Ba'anoah. And Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says, Meisei Akam also Manoah, so the Achrayim say, that's a Chumra from the Rishonim, that they introduced, Mishum Kavar Abriyas. But Mi'ikir Adin really, Meisei Akam are Mutta Ba'anoah. So the Shulchan Aruch, Meisei Akam Mutta Ba'anoah, is it mutter b'achila? Is it mutter to eat b'sar adam? So the Rambam says no. The Rambam says it's an iser essay. There's no lav in the chumash, but it's an iser essay. It says ze asher tochlu, ze tochlu mikol abeim. Only this and not other things. So b'sar adam doesn't say in the parsha. So the Rambam has it. There's an iser essay. If you eat human flesh, there's no lav, but there's an iser essay in ablat. So the Ramban asks again. Ramban disagrees, but the Rambam holds that there's no iser essay on eating human flesh. If it's a Meisi Yisrael, so it's also Bano. But a Meisi Yakum, Mutta Bano, so it's Mutta Bachilo. So there's no Iser at all. So the Ramban asks on the Rambam, the Gemara talks about drinking human milk, about an adult drinking milk from a woman. Murtog, sometimes there's an Issa de Rabbanon, so he asked, but according to the Rambam, that Bisaradim is an Issa essay, so the Cholob should be like Cholob Behemoth Tameah, Hayotzim and Asa should be Asa. So that's his proof that the Rambam is wrong, that Bisaradim is Heter Gomer. If it would have been human flesh, would be Asa, so Cholob Isha should be an Issa de Reis. So the Magen Mishnah comes to defend the Rambam from the Taina of the Ramban. He says, if you look, when the Rambam formulates the din of Yotzim and Hatame Tame, that the milk that comes from a pig is usher, and the egg that comes from an ostrich or an eagle is usher. Anything that's developed inside the body of a non-kosher animal is usher. So the Rambam is careful to write, if it's developed inside the non-kosher body, where there's an isa lav, and eating the animal. But beside Rodham, since the Rambam says only an isa essay, there's no din of Yetzim and Atami Tami. So where did the Rambam get that? How does he know that? That the din of Yetzim and Osir Asa, Yetzim and Atami Tami only applies if the live animal had an Issa lav. If only has an Issa essay, there's no Issa. So he got it from the Pasuk by Cholov. Eretz Avos Cholov Edvash. The Pasuk tells you that milk is mutter. Why is milk mutter? The answer is because the whole Issa, while the animal was alive, was only an Isser of Eina Zvucha. Eina Zvucha is only an Isser Esse. So whenever the Isser on the animal is only Isser Esse, then there's no Isser of Yetzim and Atame Tame. So the Heta by Dvash is a different Heta, because the bees didn't process it in their body, they collected the pollen. It's not called Yetzim, it's not enough. They didn't contribute enough into the honey that it should be called Yetzim from the bees. That's one Heta. And the Heta by the milk is because Beim Bechayeah only has an Isser Esi, doesn't have an Isser Lav. So that's why there's no din of the Yetzim and Osa. So you can't extend either of them to any other case. That's the whole Gemara in the first Perek in Bechiris. Yeah. Maybe we'll stop here? Okay, we'll stop here. The Gemara to the end of the Perek is going to juggle different cases, different examples of topics of Isser Chalal Isser. In this week's Sedra, we have the din of a carbon chatos we were talking tonight. Torah says if a person violates an aver b'shogeg, so he has to bring a carbon chatos. What aver did he do b'shogeg? He cheated in business b'shogeg. He spoke lashon hara b'shogeg. No, it means he violated an aver. If he would have done it, amazed it with mechayv karis. If he does it b'shogeg, then he's chayv chatos. There used to be, in the days of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, there was a malamed who was an expert malamed for young children. So he wrote a whole book on how to teach young children, Chumash. How to teach Chumash to young children. So he said, you're not mechayv to teach every Rashi. Rashi gives you a lot of Torah Shabbat. So he gave us a moshul, the Rashi on this pasuk, that a person is chay v'chatos. So only chay v'chatos if he violated an aver, which if he would have done it, the mezid would have been chay v'kareis. Kolsho has done a chorus, says Shigigosachach. They said, you don't have to go into all the details. Rab Chaim sent him back a letter. He thinks that he's wrong on this. He says, the other Rashis, he agrees. You're not mechayv to teach the child. He's just beginning Haschol Haschonish. You have to tell him the whole Torah Shabbat. But over here, you're misleading the child. He's saying, whenever you do any aver, b'shogeg, you're chayv chatas. It's not true. A person eats treif for food, b'shogeg, they're not chayv chatas. Only if he eats chayla v'dam, b'shogeg. If he mechal Shabbos, b'shogeg. So we have this din in the Chumash that if a person violates an aver, a kosher has done a curse, if he would have done the aver b'mezid, would have been chayv curse. If he violates the aver b'shogeg, he's chayv achatas. What if he's misupik, whether he ate in a restaurant, and after he finishes eating, he ate in a kosher restaurant, after he finishes eating, the waiters come and they run, I give out. We served somebody chaylev adam, there was one steak, and we forgot to cut out the chaylev, and we served it. And the guy doesn't know whether he's the lucky winner, he ate the chaylev or someone else ate the chaylev. It's all gone now. Everything was eaten up. So the Torah has the last din in the part. Torah has. No, not the last din. Next to the last din. If a person nefesh ki sechta v'yasazach v'komitz Hashem v'shalos ha'sena v'lo yada v'oshem, he's mesupik whether he did an Issa Karis or not. If he knows that he violated an Issa Karis b'shogeg, he ate the steak in the kosher restaurant, and then the waiter runs out and says, Givald, I made a mistake, I've served you this steak that had the chaylev in it. So he knows b'vada that he ate chaylev, he has to bring a chatas. If the waiter comes out and he says, hey, we served somebody chaylev, we're not sure, and everybody ate it up, and you don't know whether you're the lucky winner, you ate chaylev or not, so you don't bring achatos, because you're mesupik, v'lo yada, the Ashem and Asad Laina, then he brings Ashem Tali. Then he brings an Ashem Tali. So the Ramah and Hilchas Yom Kippur quotes from the Rabbeinu Yonah that when you bring a Chatos, when you know for sure that you Mechal Shabbos B'Shogeg, you know for sure that you ate Chayla V'Dam, so there's no minimum value that the Chatos has to be. If you can buy a Korban Chatos, costs a lot of money, it can cost $1,000 or more, a live animal. But if you can get it for less, if it doesn't have a mum, so fine. But then is Ashem Talui has to have a minimum, the Erkel Choli Ashem has to have a minimum of two shkolim. Two shkolim is not so much money, but man is less than $50. Pidyan HaBen is five shkolim. So two shkolim is two-fifths of what Pidyan HaBen is supposed to be. Pidyan HaBen now is something like $100, because the value of silver went up. So for Ashem Talui has a minimum price of two shkolim. But for Chatos, Vadai, it has no minimum price. How come? Chatos should, if anything, Chatos, he knows Vadai that he sinned. He should be more chomer over there. So the Ramah quotes the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah and Brachas on the side of the Rif, who points out that if a person knows Vadai that he did it out there, it's going to be easier for him to do tshuva. He knows he did wrong, and he's going to clap achet, he's going to feel bad. If he's misuplik, if he did an aver, he'll always talk it into himself, not so bad. Maybe I didn't do the aver. So then, it's harder for him to do tshuva. So we are machmar on him more, he has to spend more money. That's the problem. A lot of times, we talk it into ourselves. We did something that's questionable. We make it questionable. We did something that's wrong. In business, you do something that's wrong. Or Hilchos Shabbos, or Hilchos Kashrus, or whatever, bin Adam Lamokam, bin Adam Harer, whatever it happens to be. If we justify it, if we rationalize, and we say, well, maybe it's not so bad, it's not so clear that it's an aver, there's some sheet that all that is mutter, then we're never going to do tshuva. Whenever it's a suffix, it's harder to do tshuva. Whenever it's vadai to you, when you have yidiyah vadois that you did the aver, then it's easier to do tshuva. But kozman, you're not sure, then you're always going to rationalize, you're always going to justify yourself and say you don't have to do tshuva.
Everybody does it.
Yes.
Everybody
rationalizes. That's the problem. Yeah.
That's for rationalization. Why everybody does it.
Yes. Must be mutter because everybody does it.
What a crowd we had Sunday. Can you believe it?
Yeah. People have such a fever. How so amazing.